All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. June 16th, 2024, Sunday. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is actually spectacular out. These are the days we live for. Super excited. It is Father's Day, so hopefully all of the fathers out there are having awesome days, or an awesome day. Hopefully every day is awesome, right? Someone said the other day, what are you doing for Father's Day? I was like, you know, really every day is like Father's Day for me. I'm just full of gratitude. Frustrated some days, you know, obviously inconvenience, but, you know, I don't have to take too many steps back to look at the big picture, and the big picture is that I am grateful. I have such a wonderful family, such wonderful kids, and such a wonderful life, all because I chose to get sober. And one day at a time, right? I got up this morning, I chose to stay sober today, luckily. Got up and had a nice walk. Then I cut the grass, right? These are all, you know, boring things, but for a dad at 55, these are all things that I look forward to. Got to cut the grass and then went down the street here and jumped in the pool and just floated around the pool by myself. Like 10 in the morning, the water is freaking perfect. Sun is up. I mean, pretty freaking awesome. Came back to the house. We're having some friends over, my buddy Ben and some other people, and my in-laws and my dad are coming over this afternoon. We're going to cook and hang out at the pool. And so I was getting some food together. My daughter made me a great card. Number one, big boy, he called already, Big Davey. He's down in Florida. They're heading back today. His mom had called me the other day, and she's like, I'm so worried about having this conversation. And I was like, what's the matter, right? What's going on? She goes, well, she goes, you know, we want to go to Florida. And David had mentioned it to me, and I was like, you know, of course, right? And she's like, I wanted to go to Florida, or we're going to Florida, and we need to buy the tickets. And it just, the problem is, right, is that it's, we come back on Father's Day. And I know it's your day. And I'm like, I go, honestly, it's fine. She's like, really? I go, yeah, it's fine. It's no big deal. I mean, I'm grateful. But like I said, man, I'm a father every day. And so, you know, I think it's great that my older son can go to Florida with his mom, and I do not have to be the reason that that doesn't happen. So I was like, you know, absolutely, have the greatest time. She's like, oh my God, thank you so much. I was so worried you were going to be upset. I was like, really? Do I get that upset about things? And she's like, no, but it's Father's Day. And I go, listen, you know, every day I'm blessed, and you know, it's like, I'm just grateful the kids. I'm grateful that I still have my kids in my life, right?
Yeah.
Steely Dan, Do It Again. What a freaking groove that is. They're not laying beats down like that anymore. That's for sure. Definitely not live. Awesome band. Great song. Perfect song for Father's Day. Big Boy called me this morning. Just so grateful. I had never wanted to be a dad. It's so funny, but I remember as a kid, I didn't want to be a dad, and I didn't want to get married. I didn't want anything to do with it. And, sure enough, I've always said, my first marriage, it was a little, I'm so grateful that it happened, right? I could not imagine not having my kids and not having my oldest son, David. But if I had been honest, right, if I had been, working a decent program, doing the things I was supposed to do, been mature, right, been an actual adult, I probably wouldn't have or shouldn't have wasted my first wife's time. I sort of took her hostage because of my own insecurities, right? Not realizing, though. It's always easy to look back and say, man, what a piece of shit you were. At the time, I felt absolutely committed, absolutely in love, completely, I shouldn't say that, 70%, confirmed that this is the plan and the thing that I wanted to do. But I don't think anybody goes into marriage and always are 100%, right? I mean, I guess we can always think we are, but, once the dust settles and we settle into that, the grind of living and being married and raising kids and working and surviving, it's, we can test each other. So, but, it could have gone so differently, and I'm just so lucky that out of that whole thing, we have an amazing son, David, and he was my first. Luckily, he didn't really see me drink. I was definitely struggling, though. When he was born, I would drink and say sorry and make amends and then, put some time in between and then screw up again. Just not wanting to be sober, really, had one foot in one world and another foot in the other world. And, one of the things that I remember the most and that happened so quickly is that, and in that third step, it talks about stepping through that doorway, when I step back through the doorway, right, like today, I don't know anything about anything, right? I don't know anybody that's doing drugs. I don't know anybody that's a drunk, right? I have a couple friends that may drink a little bit, but, I'm not hearing any chatter about it, right? I don't know where to get anything, right? And, as soon as I picked up that drink back in, I don't know, whatever year it was, 2004, 2003, it's like immediately, man, I stepped back through and got into that world, right? And was already started talking to people that were in that world and hanging out with shifty people and, lying. And once that drink went in my mouth, I had no desire to be sober, right? I definitely had a desire to stop getting caught by my wife, which would happen. I was definitely drinking many times. She never caught me. It was just a real mess, and so his first year of life was, it was fine. I was hanging in there, but I was struggling, and when it finally did come to an end, that was my last drink, right? August 26, 2006 was the last, I think, drink that I had, and I remember it was his, I think actually the last drink might have been the 23rd of August, because I think his birthday was the 24th, and I remember going up. And I've shared this, taking him to Toys R Us and trying to buy him enough toys to make the pain in my heart go away. And they didn't have enough toys. This is back when they still had Toys R Us, right? A big store full of toys. I'm like, buy whatever. Just make me feel better, right? And then on the way back from Dover, taking him birthday shopping, making that phone call, and Marvin L. coming to pick me up from York, Pennsylvania. And that would be my last drink. And luckily he didn't have to, luckily it stopped there, sort of the drinking stopped. I would obviously change my sobriety date 2 more years later, but the drinking stopped and he's never known me to have a drink again. And, I'm just so blessed, right? And my other kids never knew me to drink ever. David didn't know me to drink either. He just was alive when I was struggling. But he called me this morning and he texted me. He's just so grateful. He said, I'm so grateful to have you in my life. And I said, I'll be by your side whenever you need me, right? That's the other thing, man, that what we learn when we have kids, or what I've learned, right? Sometimes helping, the more I help, sometimes the worse I make it. When a guy like me loves to help, I'm like, you need money? No. I'm like, you sure? I always needed money. If my dad asked me, I'm like, yeah, what you got, right? He's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, come on, let me send you something, right? Yeah, it's just, I'm just really grateful. The other thing that's kind of, you know, I've talked about being a big fan of RFK Jr. So if you listen to this podcast, you should definitely take a look at RFK Jr. If you love your, you know, whoever you love, I've never seen a guy, and really the reason that I like him is because of this. I've never seen a guy put more effort in trying to figure out how to fix our country. You know, people say, you know, I don't get into it, but people say, oh, he screwed up on this. He screwed up on Israel, right? Or he screwed up on abortion. I'm like, you know, this guy, I mean, if we don't fix certain things in our country, we won't have the ability to complain about those other issues anyway. You know, but he's just putting out so much information. I'm like, everyone just step aside and let this guy come in and try to fix our country, right? He put out this documentary last night. They did the, whatever you call it, down in Albuquerque, which I thought was pretty cool. And it's called Recovering America. And it's a great documentary. And I suggest you go check it out. It's Recovering America. It's on YouTube, RFK Jr. I don't know, half an hour. And he's trying to figure out how to fix the addiction problem in our country. And we have one. You know, back in the day, you might know somebody that knew somebody, right, that struggled or had problems with addiction, right? But today, it's, you know, I think every person in this country either has an addiction problem with themselves or with somebody they know, or they know somebody that does. I would say they know somebody just in their immediate family, right? I personally know probably 20 people that have died because of addiction, right? That didn't used to be the case when I was a kid. It's only getting worse. And so he is, you know, he's trying to figure out a way to make a way to tackle our addiction problem in this country, the homeless problem, right? All of it. And I watched this documentary last night, and, you know, a lot of these guys talked about, you know, because fentanyl, right, heroin, pills, they are, you know, the big thing right now. And I was that guy. I have, you know, I sat here today, a sober, a father of three, a husband, a business owner, and I was that guy that was headed to where you see all these people are on the side of the street. You know, I hurt my back. I pulled my back in 1999 doing a deadlift. I definitely recommend do not do deadlifts. I don't give a fuck who tells you it's the greatest exercise in the entire world. Bring me someone that's been deadlifting 5 years and tell me that they're not in pain and hurting and are full of regret. And if you're not, well, good for you, man. But the fact is, deadlifting is fucking terrible. I do not recommend it. I'm telling you, don't deadlift. There's many other exercises you can do to get the same results. Don't fucking let your ego talk you into deadlifting. But enough said. My kids ask me, do you have any regrets, Daddy? Yes, one, deadlifting. 1999, Gold's Gym, deadlifting. Pulled up 4 plates. I had done it before. The second time, I didn't show it the same amount of respect. One pull, pop my back, dropped the weights, and was like, oh, shit, right? And that day would be, that would change my whole life. That one lift, that 30 fucking seconds of my life, that one lift changed my whole life. And, you know, prior to that, you know, I've shared, I had pills, I had Vicodin that I'd been given for a tooth, right? I didn't care. I was like, I don't take pills. Right? I'm not into pills. A friend of mine, Linda, is like, can I have them? I'm like, take them. I don't give a shit. I'm not into pills. And when I took that when I got that back injury, I had to call my dad, took me to the ER, right? I had to crawl into his car. I couldn't even walk. That's how bad my back was. And they gave me oxycodone. And I think they gave me oxycodone in the hospital, because I'll never forget this euphoric feeling I had in the hospital. It was like on a fucking journey, man. And I think they might have given me Vicodin or Percocet to take home. But from that day on, I would struggle with pain pills, and I would binge them, right? I would get them. I'd get a prescription. I would take them. It said take one. And just like this guy shared his story last night in this podcast, or in the documentary that Kennedy's doing about, you know, recovery and trying to help fix this country of its addiction problem. This guy shared that he had a foot injury, right? He had a surgery. They prescribed him oxycodone, right? He took one, eventually he tried two, and then he tried three, and it put him in this euphoric place that he had never experienced before, and he would lose everything, right? He would do the exact same thing I did, right? I would drink. I would take fucking pills. I remember taking five Percocet, throwing them up in a bucket and picking them out and retaking them. That's how fucking sick I was on these fucking pills. And I was not into pills, right? And I was, you know, and then I would run out and then you couldn't get any more. And then about, you know, 3 months later, I'd call and I'd have my back would flare up. And it was an injury. And, you know, over that time, it became harder and harder to get them. I would end up getting Vicodin. And I just remember this anxiety of trying to get them. And then comfort, right? They would come over me knowing that I was able to get them, and it was such a nightmare, and taking them, and then finally getting called out, you know, saying and behaving in a certain way under the influence of those pills that was so embarrassing and life-changing that I had to quit. You know, the arrogance, pills made me so fucking arrogant, man. You could just see it in my face, and I was fucking headed to nowhere good, and I probably was getting ready to start doing heroin because the pills were harder and harder to get. And I said something in a way to somebody that was so bad that I was so ashamed that I fucking, you know, I called myself out, called my sponsor. So listen, I'm taking pain pills. And he's like, well, you have to change your sobriety date. And I'm like, and I had just gotten 2 years of, you know, in my mind, I was 2 years sober, right? I was 2 years free of not drinking, but I was doing pain pills. So he's like, you're going to have to change your sobriety date again. And I was like, ah, again? Oh, my God, I don't want to change it again. But I did, because that... You know, I was headed to, just like all those people that are in this documentary, and all, if you watch the documentary, man, this, our country's really hurting. And so I'm just, you know, so lucky that I made that choice that day and have stuck with it, because that was horrible. And that was December 22nd, 2008, right? 2008. And so I haven't had a pill or a drink since then. And I'm just so grateful, right? And so today I've got my kids, and I got a fantastic life, and I'm just so, so, so blessed. You know, the other thing that's freaking cool, man, is, you know, we get so many chances. Holy moly. I mean, you know, sometimes I run, you know, I walked with the doctor the other day, my buddy Jimmy, and it's like this crush and run trail all through the woods and stuff, and I would say it's probably 6 feet wide. And sometimes, man, you know, we'll see these big earthworms that they must come from one side of the trail or one side of the path and cross to the other side of the path. And, you know, they're pretty big worms, man. And, you know, worms don't move that fast. And they start their journey across this trail. And all the way across, they're gathering these little bits of gray stone dust all over their bodies, right? They're just, it's heavier and heavier, and they just can't, you know, sometimes I'll get there and I'll be out walking and I'll see them to the edge and they're just covered in this dust and they're almost to the grass, right? That's where all the water and the moisture is, and they're almost there, and I'm like, oh my God, this poor freaking worm. And so I'll pick him up. This happened to me in recovery. This empathy that I have now for things, you know, to me, the idea that leaving that earthworm right there in the dust and not being able to get quite to the grass because he's so loaded with all this debris stuck to him. And so I always help him, you know. But man, it's like, as humans, man, we just have so many opportunities to get better, and we just don't, right? And watching that documentary last night, it was so eye-opening, the real sickness that this country has, and you know, the homelessness, and, you know, the unemployment, and the despair, and the hopeless. It's terrible, right? And RFK goes into, you know, he's been traveling the United States, and there's these programs, right? I can't remember the names. I would check out. I would absolutely, if you're into recovery and you're into, you know, the future of our country, I would absolutely go look up Recovering America, RFK Jr.'s documentary put out last night. But he found these places, these farms, right, where it takes in these addicts. And, you know, whether you're in a 12-step program, whether you're in an outpatient program, whether you're in a farm program, whether you're in whatever it is that you're in, all of these programs are usually based around the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I've been to NA. I mean, I've been to many programs. They always have some sort of 12 steps. And usually the 12 step is, now having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these 12 steps, our job now is to be to work and be there for the next alcoholic. One alcoholic helping another. You know, he talked about it in the story, you know, when Bill W. Came to the idea that there's only one way to get sober is by helping another out. The only way I can stay sober is to help another alcoholic get sober, right? And so, you know, the desperation, calling priests, do you have any helpless drunks that I can help, right? And he found one, and they had that meeting, and that would be the first AA meeting, and then they had to go find another, right? And so it's always, in the end, it's about one alcoholic helping another, and they're building these farms. I don't know how many there are. They used two examples of it last night in the documentary, where they basically take these addicts, right, that are hopeless, mental health issues and addiction and alcoholism, and they bring them to these farms, and they live on these farms. And this one guy, I think he was up in Oregon, he has, you know, he's got this huge farm, right, where all these people live, and it's all of the revenue is created through the jobs and work that these kids, these guys in recovery do. He's got the biggest moving company, I guess, in Seattle, I get, but it's all run by, you know, recovering addicts, construction, all these great jobs and skills that they teach these guys that they go back and learn. There's no timetable. They stay as long as they want, stay forever, right? And Kennedy wants to do that. He wants to build these recovery farms around the United States and try to help people find hope again. And I just thought it was such a great documentary. I'm just so impressed with this man. And it's so fucked up because all these people are like, he's a piece of shit and he's done this. Listen, guys, everything he's ever said, and I was a person that sort of had a negative view of him back during the pandemic because I thought, you know, we were, you know, 6 feet apart. I thought we were being told all the right stuff. It turns out, I think I'm learning. I've known, right? I've read his books. I am aware of the bullshit that was pulled over our fucking eyes. But now I think more people are starting to realize it, that everything RFK has ever said about the pandemics, the lockdowns, you know, tearing apart the First Amendment, which they did, has all ended up becoming true. And I think this guy deserves an apology. And he's probably has more character in his pinky than definitely Donald Trump. My issue with Donald Trump is he has no character. He has no integrity. And to me, that is the sickness right now with what's going on in our country, is we just don't have a lot of, not everybody, right? There's a ton of people that have great character. Good, I love it, right? But we're deficient in it. And we need to start, you know, making sure that that's important again. For me, right? Everybody has your own opinion. If you don't agree with me, that's fine too. But I just appreciate that. And he's putting in so much work trying to figure out the border, right? Israel, all these different things, and addiction. And I appreciate that, right? Our country's so fucked up right now in addiction. We could hire half the country to fix the other half, right? That's how freaking bad we are. This homelessness, San Francisco, you should see some of the stuff that they show in this documentary. These people are, it's terrible. It's a freaking shame that we can't help our own people here in our country. A lot of vets, homeless, families, and we're sending trillions of dollars to these other places. I just think it's fucking terrible. And he's done with it, right? Let's start getting our country healthy again. Let's end these forever wars, which I think is a great idea. Fantastic idea. Let's see. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking about today. That was what got my, you know, I watched that documentary last night, and I'm just so grateful today, right? I'm just so grateful because the fact is that like that worm, you know, that is what ends up happening to a lot of us, is we just get so burdened, right, with so much shit, and it's hard to see the light and the way to get out. And people are starting to figure out, how can we help people building these farms where one alcoholic or one drug addict is helping another. And, you know, in the woods, out in the country, right, taking away cell phones and starting to get back to basics, the kind of shit that we used to learn when we were younger and before all this damn technology and shit showed up. So, yeah, so I love that. I'm just grateful another day to be, you know, clean and sober. I can show up for my kids. Yeah, just really blessed. I did not go to the meeting last night. I sort of shared the last couple of days, I'm not going to that meeting anymore. I've decided I'm not into it. It was funny. I was watching RFK in the documentary. He's like, I go to a meeting every day. I went to a meeting this morning and the meeting was shit. I was like, okay. So, you know, just because it's a meeting doesn't mean we always have to love it, right? Just because it's a meeting doesn't mean that I always have to go. I shared before, I'm doing 5 meetings a week. I have, if it was my only meeting, which it isn't, and I was getting rid of it, I would definitely have to, you know, have a conversation. But meeting's just not for me. Good for them. I hope they all are doing well. And the funny thing is, a lot of those people in that meeting, I see at different meetings, and it's a completely different environment. So that works a little bit better for me. I just need to, you know, I'm at a place in my life that recovery is an inconvenience. Recovery is something that I absolutely really have to work on. Recovery to me isn't better. And when I say recovery, going to a meeting isn't always better than what I'm doing, right? You know, I would rather be at home. I am at the place where I literally have to carry the cross, the burden of what I have done, and that is to go to meetings to be there for the next alcoholic. I am not there to hug. I am not there to bring flowers. I am not there to eat cake. I am not there to fucking have cream or coffee. I'm there to sit for an hour because, you know, it's my penance. This is the shit that I get to do now. And so I didn't go to the meeting. I'm going to go, I'll be at a meeting tomorrow night, or tomorrow night. I don't know. I'll definitely be at a meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow we're on to the 6th step. Listen, this is, to me, the 6th and 7th. You could do the 12 steps, do 6 and 7, and learn a lot about yourself. I think you could probably be a better drunk, maybe. But to me, this is really what teaches us, exposes, for at least for me, my real character defects, right? This bad behavior that, you know, I just, 6 and 7 to me are just the most interesting. All right, well, let me read the daily reflections. Like I said, happy Father's Day to everybody. I hope everyone has a great day. It is beautiful. All right, daily reflections. I came up to do the podcast, and I had to update my computer. It was having issues, so. All right, open-mindedness, June 16th. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, and inclusive, never exclusive or forbidden to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Yeah, Alcoholics Anonymous, page 46. Open-mindedness to concepts of a higher power can open doors to the spirit. Often, I find the human spirit in the various dogmas and faiths. I can be spiritual in the sharing of myself. The sharing of self joins me to the human race and brings me closer to God as I understand him. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny. I was, you know, I think about my relationship, my search for God, a higher power early on, my open-mindedness, right? Trying to hear, trying to pay attention, trying to be aware. The problem is that it was all fueled by self. All what was I going to get? All self-seeking, right? And so it just fucking eliminates, really, for me at least, any real spiritual connection if self's behind it. And so over time, I sort of just kind of gave up, right? And this miracle started happening, though, with this spiritual awakening that I've gone through. And spiritual meaning that it's not like I'm plugged into God. I've removed all the self-centered fear bullshit that that kept me from having the relationship, right? I believe we're spiritual beings already, right? I'm just like that earthworm, right? The earthworm was fine until he tried to cross life, until he tried to cross the path, and all of these things started sticking to him. And he became burdened, and the worm could barely get a freaking cross. He wasn't going to make it. And what happens? He'll die. He dries and dies, right? He'll not make it across the path. And that's how my life has been, right? I am that worm, you know, and all of the self-centered fear bullshit stuck to my body. And I was, I couldn't do anything. And the steps allow us to start to pick that debris off, sort of the same idea of the boxes in the garage, right? We start to open the boxes, dig through them, clean them out, right? Fold them up, put them in the recycling bin, and we get to have the path to getting across the path or get to the car to start to use our spirit again, right? And, you know, but you have to, or I had to, you know, really dig into these steps so I could get the shit off of me. I could get the fucking boxes out of the garage so I could get to the keys, man. And, you know, just awesome. Very good. All right, listen, happy Father's Day to all. And I hope everyone has a great day. And we'll catch you later. Bye. Oh,